in the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking that we could pull, I don't know, Hall of Famer. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now, introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. There is nothing more fun than opening an Arena Club Slab Pack. I mean, it is so much better than any mystery pack that I've ever purchased because there is a focus on transparency. There is a display of available cards. There are hit rates you can get. When you're graded, you're given a rationale. It is the marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, and displaying. Arena Club Slab Packs are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. Whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/badmoney. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack, that's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/badmoney for 10% off your first purchase. You got problems that you ought to be concerned with. Moolah! You don't know how you're supposed to earn it, or what to do with it, or how to keep it. You're a freak with a dark, shameful secret. But you're not the only one. Get your hidden financial fears with a blast of sun. Now your healing has begun. It's Bad with Money with Gabe S. Dunn. Hello and welcome to Bad with Money, a show about finances and feelings where we don't talk down to you. Our guest today, this topic is so fascinating and so relevant. So Benny, can you tell my audience who you are and what you do?
Yes, of course. Good morning. I am Benazir Benny Roshan, and I am a litigation partner here at Greenberg Lesker. And my bread and butter primary method of earning a living is trust and estates litigation, which includes guardianships and conservatorships.
Can you explain what a guardianship is and then what a conservatorship is?
Absolutely. Depending on what state you're in the United States, the process by which an agent is appointed for you to make decisions on your behalf, whether they be personal or with respect to your finances. In California, with respect to an adult, it is called a conservatorship. And with respect to a minor, it's called a guardianship. In some other states, for example, in New York, the entire process is called a guardianship, and there are no differences between guardianships and conservatorships.
Oh, okay. So what qualifies someone? I guess for a minor, it makes a little bit more sense in our heads, right? Of course, like they need someone to look after them. But what qualifies someone for a conservatorship?
You mean like what circumstances or make it more appropriate for a conservatorship to be in place, or
yeah,
what qualifications should the person who's being appointed have?
Oh, no. Like what would cause someone to need a conservatorship?
Two circumstances. For example, I'll speak in California, but the rules are pretty uniform across, you know, the United States and Alaska and, you know, the non-contiguous states. Essentially, when an adult becomes vulnerable, you know, they become candidates for conservancy, which is what a conservatorship is. And so there are two types in California, for example. So on a very high level, there is a conservatorship of the person, and then there's a conservatorship of the estate. Conservatorship of the person involves circumstances whereby an adult cannot perform basic activities of daily living and care for him or herself or themselves. And what that means is they cannot to brush their teeth, drive them their car, take medications, feed themselves. You know, there's a range, there's a spectrum of vulnerability basically in that department. And so that is what would make it appropriate for that particular adult to be conserved and for a conservator of the person to be appointed. As a corollary to that, there is a conservatorship of the estate. So for example, if you're a human and you can no longer brush your teeth or drive, then similarly, you're not going to be handling complex financial tasks, right? Like writing your checks or knowing how much money you have, or, you know, not giving somebody money when they come and ask you, you know, I'm a Nigerian prince and I need $1 million, and then you're right. going to get $200 million. You become vulnerable. And so under those circumstances, it becomes appropriate for you to be conserved in a financial matter. And in California, that is the person who's appointed to be your conservator becomes a conservator of your estate.
And like you said before, what qualifies someone to be the person guarding or you know, working as someone's conservator?
So essentially, the way in which you end up in, and I know that this is a topic we're probably going to cover a little bit later, but essentially where you become in the crosshairs of a guardianship or a conservatorship process is a fundamental failure or lack of planning, advanced planning for yourself that makes you, you know, more susceptible to fall into a conservatorship or guardianship process, which I don't hope for anyone, because you end up, your whole life ends up becoming public and in a public forum, and it's, you know, it's everything about you is disclosed, private details. I'm going to cover the what qualifies somebody to be a conservator of a person, but I think just as a foundational fact, I think that adults should know that if they have estate planning documents, and that is somebody has a power of attorney, somebody has a trust, somebody has a will, somebody has a healthcare directive, those documents allow for the person to make that choice, him or herself or themselves, right? Because that person says, I have, you know, my doctor who knows me, I want my personal decisions to be made by this person. I want my son, I want my daughter, and they make that choice. Where we find ourselves in a public conservatorship or guardianship is precisely because we don't have those documents. And in some other circumstances, even if you have those documents, but it's kind of rare to find yourself in the conservatorship if you've buttoned up all of your legal documents, where you have relegated somebody, you know, power and authority to somebody in the event, in the unlikely event or likely event that you yourself becomes incapacitated. So where you find yourself in a guardianship or conservatorship, the way in which the court is appointed is a family member, an interested person, or anybody. The law has a range of people that can qualify to be a conservator. They petition the court. So they actually file suit in court and they say, X, you know, person does not have the capability of caring for that person, and they also don't have the capacity to manage their own finances. And so court, please appoint me. An example that's recent, that's been in the media, that comes to my mind is Wendy Williams, because she is being conserved under a guardianship in New York. And the way in which, my understanding of the public facts, the way in which that happened was her bank, I think it's Bank of Wells Fargo Bank, mm-hmm. had concerns about her vulnerability, and they petitioned the court to have a guardian appointed for her.
What? Is that, that's yeah. something that can happen?
It can happen, absolutely. And it can happen to anyone. It doesn't discriminate. You know, you could be the wealthiest person. You could be, it adversely impacts those who don't have the means, but it applies to everyone and it can affect everyone.
What behavior was she doing that they were concerned about?
So I haven't watched the full documentary, and I would, you know, and I'm going to finish it. But based on the documentary that dropped in February, it appears that the bank had concerns about Wendy being, and by the way, just like a putting a pin to this comment, because there's a foundational fact there too, that there were concerns about family members taking advantage of her financially. And so her bank petitioned the court, and the bank nominated a third party attorney to become the guardian for Ms. Williams. And that, in fact, that petition got granted. And the rest of the documentary, which I haven't seen, I think explores that. But one thing that unfortunately we don't have visibility into the Wendy Williams guardianship, because right. the entire record is kept private and under seal.
It's not usually kept under seal, right? Just because she's a celebrity.
In California, you have, I would take it New York, California is the leader state, which makes me really proud. And I think in the world, on the laws that apply to trusts and estates, which include guardianships and conservatorships, the process, everything is public. The fact of somebody being conserved or somebody seeking conservatorship, certain facts become private and they are filed confidentially. Like, you're not going to find somebody's social security numbers right. and things like that. You disclose that to the court, but it's very specific. The court says, file the following documents confidentially and file the following documents publicly. In Ms. Williams' case, her entire file is confidential from the public record. And so, you know, I don't have any insight into that other than, you know, perhaps if there is enough media attention, scrutiny, inquiry, that potentially the court could unseal those records so that the public is able to step in the same way that it did for Britney Spears in California.
Right. Hair thinning impacts a lot of us. In fact, over half of us will experience hair thinning at some point in our lives. It's not only common, it's normal. Join the over 1 million people who are doing something about it with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Thinning hair is different for men and women, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow based on your biology, life stage, such as postpartum or menopause, and lifestyle factors, such as plant-based lifestyles. Physician formulated with drug-free ingredients, Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting key root causes of thinning: stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism through whole body health. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In clinical studies, 72% of men saw more scalp coverage after taking Nutrafol Men's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months, and 86% of women saw improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Take their hair wellness quiz at Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code BADMONEY. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code BADMONEY. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code BADMONEY. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything is more expensive these days when you're running a business, and you would be wise to find proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time. The fact that you are able to reduce your IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud is incredible. And the ability to access your cloud financial system from anywhere saves you so much time and stress. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/badwithmoney. 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 Managing my finances is incredibly stressful and time-consuming. I'm sure you guys know. You've been with me on this journey. You know how many finance apps I've tried. You know how much they haven't worked for me. And I'm always on the hunt for a finance app that fits my life. And then I tried Monarch. It is so easy to use, with powerful features, collaboration tools, intuitive design, personalization, constant product improvements. I really value an app that allows me to do all of this without confusion. And especially important to me is intuitive design and the ability to personalize, because clearly finance is not one size fits all. Did you know that money issues are a leading cause of divorce? Monarch, the top-rated personal finance app, also has built-in collaboration features so you can invite your partner at no extra cost. Together, you can see all your finances, collaborate on your budget, and get insights on your cash flow and recurring transactions. It's the easiest way to manage your household finances. Are you saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation? Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Have you been frustrated with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads, difficult to use, rarely updated? So was Monarch. They built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive and powerful and ad-free and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Experience a personal finance app that prioritizes the user experience above all else. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. Change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications, set up automatic rules for transactions and notifications, and more. Plus, there's ad-free privacy you can trust. We will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. That's monarchmoney.com/badmoney for your extended 30-day free trial. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a new candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. It would be so much easier if I was looking for someone to help me with sweetening audio, or let's say someone to run my merch shop, or all the little things that go into running a podcast. Usually something like that would be so slow and overwhelming. And honestly, I wish I had used Indeed, and I will use Indeed in the future. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Just go to Indeed.com/badwithmoney right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. This is interesting. So you're saying it affects people who tend to be not rich, but we only really hear about it in terms of like wealthy people. So with people that don't have a lot of money, what is the worry is that they're not able to care for themselves, less so that they have estates?
It applies to everybody in the same way.
Yeah.
The laws are very, you know, like uniform. But the reason why we don't hear about conservatorships and guardianships with respect to like normal people like me and you is that in our cases, you know, we have our mom and dad, like something, let's say something catastrophic happens to me, right? And I'm like brain injured and they need to go into court. Like typically those cases, the law is set up such that your parent goes in there or your sibling goes in there and they get appointed, and the court makes it very like simple, you know, for you to get that relief, which is a huge plus that I think is kind of gets lost in the shuffle of when we're talking about the Britney Spears conservatorship and the Wendy Williams guardianship. Everybody talks about the broken system, but the system isn't broken. It's just that it's available for sale because we live in a capitalistic society in which like our wealth and privilege allows access to certain loopholes and you know, options that potentially is not available to people that don't have a lot of assets. But for the people who don't have assets, they get that relief, which is the core function of the law to begin with, which is to protect and preserve you so that you are taken care of on a personal level and your finances are managed in a way that really to maximize it for your benefit.
I don't know if it's just because of the media, but the whole idea is very spooky to me. Like, how do we know that anything is like any sort of freedom taken away? How do we know that any of this is handled? Like you're saying, the system is not broken, but like, how do we know that people are in it for the right reasons or that it's not a situation like Jamie Spears? Like, it just feels like very, as you're talking, my like chest is
like tightening up. You're like, yeah. Oh my God, I can't breathe.
Yeah. Like what happens?
No. I know. Okay. So, you know, we should take a deep breath, like what we do in any situation that appears anxiety provoking, okay. Which is a conservatorship and guardianship. I personally, that is my worst nightmare. And like, mm-hmm. I don't even like wish that on my worst enemy, of which mm-hmm. I have many since I'm here.
Work.
So you do not want to end up there. However, like the California system is very, very good. And I'm in that system. I'm an officer of the court. I am a representative of the people, by the people, all of that good stuff. But the one thing that gives me like anxiety is ending up in the system, right? The system is not pretty. You know, incarceration, right? So there's like federal prison and then state jail and then a conservatorship, right? So it's like, in terms of like the level of taking away your freedom, it absolutely is that. But you have to balance that against what your need is in that moment in time. If I'm in a hospital and I don't have papers that, you know, appointed my husband as my, you know, person to make the decisions, or my mom, or my, you know, whoever, the people that are going to move, like you have to have a little bit of faith. The people who move to conserve you are people that are generally care for you and they want you to live and they want to make the decisions for you. So in that moment in time, if I'm balancing like, oh, I'm giving up my freedom versus I'm in the hospital and I need to get this blood infusion, right? I'd rather get the blood infusion and lose my freedom a little bit. And then there are things you can do as a human to minimize the impact of finding yourself in the system as individuals. You can make that choice now. Anybody can make it. Any adult has the power to govern their own decisions. And I'm one of those people that I would choose to make that choice myself rather than delegate it to the courts.
It's almost like where my mom says, my mom's a divorce attorney, and she says, you can choose to not have a prenup, but your prenup is now the state.
Exactly. It's the same exact thing. You can choose not to have a power of attorney, a trust, a will, but you've made a choice because you've allowed the state laws where you reside take control when you die or become incapacitated.
And you want, I mean, so someone should set this up probably as soon as possible, because you want to be able to say, I want my husband to do this versus, you know, my dad who's abusive, let's say. Why do these people not have it in place? They just don't know, or they're getting taken advantage of all the way around?
I was like, ding, 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 ding. All of the above, because you have a situation where on an emotional level, talking about your own demise is emotionally very challenging, right? Like I've been in the death business for almost 20 years and I can talk about it in a non-emotional way. And that's a service to people, because somebody should be able to talk about it in a non-emotional way that benefits you. So I think on an emotional level, it is very difficult to confront the issue of your own death and demise and incapacity. So that's one reason why people never get around to it. Number two is, like, knowledge is power, and a lot of people just don't know that they should do this. So there isn't a lot of education around it. Okay. And there are other reasons, but I'm just giving you those two reasons. Like, a lot of people don't know that when they become an adult, if they have a friend, they have a trusted person, their parent, whatever it is, they can select that person. And it doesn't have to be static. Like if you choose your boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, life partner, domestic partner at this moment. And then 5 years later, you have split up and the circumstances have changed. It doesn't mean that that person has to stay in place and like control your decisions. You can edit and revise in the course of your life. So what I usually tell, you know, young adults, and I will tell you this because the mom advice in me is like coming out.
No good. Good.
Invest in getting your estate planning documents done. A lot of people, there's a misconception around when is appropriate for you to have an estate planning document. A lot of people think when I buy a house, when I have money, I'm poor. I don't need an estate plan because to have an estate plan means you have an estate. Wrong. You do not need to have an estate to have an estate plan because an estate plan is also covering a scenario in which you need a guardianship. Like if Britney Spears would have known to have estate planning documents in place, she would have not been in jail, you know, for 13 years, right?
Right.
So the facts are the facts. Like you choose, make the right decision, and then, you know, hope for the best.
I mean, you hope too that you have people around you that aren't purposefully shrouding things from you. But is it expensive to do? Is it like a whole rigmarole?
To have estate planning documents?
Yeah, to like have all of this in place.
No. There are, so it ranges, right? So if you have like a gazillion dollars, if you're like Elon Musk, right? Then
sure.
Then you have like a law firm like Greenberg Lusker who's going to put together your estate plan and it's going to have like sophisticated like tax planning in case something happens to you. And there's going to be like, you know, a provision for all of your like million kids. Right?
Right, sure.
But if you're a student, you don't really like you can just do research online and go to LegalZoom if you can't afford it and put together in place like basic documents that will be enforceable in court. In a will situation, by the way, handwritten wills are absolutely legal and enforceable.
Yes, I wrote about that in my book. If you write your will in crayon, it still applies.
Yep. You write it in a crayon. You spit it in a shape, in a document. You know, you bake a pie and you cut out the letters.
It still counts. I know. Because I talked about in my book how me and my sister would play this like stupid game when we were kids where we would, I don't know what we heard, where we heard it, but if we were mad at the other one, we would be like, you're out of the will. And then the other one would be like, no. And we would like write a crayon will being like, and all my Beanie Babies go to mom and dad and none go to Cheyenne. And she'd be like, no. And I was like, what sort of weird game were we playing where we were like putting each other in and out of our wills?
That is so cute. Well, you better like track those down or your mom should have them somewhere because they're enforceable.
Yeah, that's what I was saying in my book. I was like, those are enforceable.
Yeah.
It was just really funny. Hey guys, Gabe Dunn here. I just wanted to let you guys know that I have a Patreon at patreon.com/GabeSDunn. And on that Patreon, I'm going to start doing live hangs with everyone who is a patron. So if you want to join the Patreon, you can get all these episodes ad-free, videos of our mailbag episodes, extra writing from me, blogs, fiction, other stuff, things that I'm thinking about with regards to money and personal stories. And also now live hangs with me on Zoom once a month. So join the Patreon. And if you're not a member of the Discord, hop on over to the Discord. That's free. The link will be in the description. It's so fun. So many of you guys talk over there. It's like truly popping off. And if you're on the Discord, I would love to see you in the live hang so I get to put a face to a name. So yeah, please join patreon.com/GabeSDunn and come hang out with me. I love to track progress. As you guys know from listening to this show, I'm constantly tracking my progress. What have we done so far in 2024? And spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest. And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans like for a car or a home. You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. That's right, you can build your credit using your own money. Get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. With a qualifying direct deposit, you can get access to your money sooner. fee-free overdraft with SpotMe. Overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualified direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance. Access 60,000 plus fee-free ATMs. That's more than the top three national banks combined. Easily find one near you with the Chime app. Send and receive money. Use Chime to pay anyone, Chime members or not, and cash out your money fee-free. With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started at chime.com/badmoney. That's chime.com/badmoney. Chime feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A., members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So anyway, yeah. So, okay. What about like the mental health of it all? Like if you're not, you know, is it like, cause like the Britney Spears stuff is so subjective. I feel like it became very subjective on the mental health side. What are the steps or how is that in place? How does that like typically work?
In terms of keeping it like more objective and like,
yeah,
there is a whole process involved before a conservatorship is actually instituted over a person in California. And I'm going to speak only in California, but the laws are similar across the globe. Basically, you have to be, if you dispute the conservatorship and if you say, I don't want this person, I'm fine, I don't need a conservatorship, the court under, you have a constitutional due process right to go through a trial of your peers before you are convicted of a concern under a, you know, and placed under a conservatorship. People don't know this. And that's why people are like, oh my God, you know, like Britney sneezed and she was under a conservatorship. The actual laws that you're supposed to follow and the procedures are quite like sophisticated and reasonable and cogent and all of those good things that we are blessed as Americans. Okay. Mm. You are entitled to a jury trial. You get a lawyer appointed for you. Now, I'm not saying that the system is perfect. The system is imperfect, just like humanity as a whole.
Yeah.
But it doesn't operate in a way where you file a paper and the next day somebody is conserved. It doesn't operate in that way.
A jury of your peers? A jury decides?
And by the way, trust and estates laws in general, like if you have a dispute over your trust or a will, you don't get a right to a jury trial. The only condition under which you get a jury trial in California, one is elder abuse cases and financial fraud of an elderly committed against an elderly person. The other one is conservatorships. And they have, it's in guardianship court. It's heard separately from the probate court. And somebody says, I don't want to be conserved. They're going to have to go through the trial process and convict them of a conservatorship. And there are two different types of conservatorships, okay? There's one conservatorship where you are not mentally ill, and then there's a conservatorship for the mentally ill people.
And they decide the level by speaking to the person or and by seeing what they're able to do?
All of the above. There are physicians. They're required to give what are called declarations of capacity. There are eyewitness accounts, right? So it's just like what we are familiar with in regular court of law, where evidence is considered, and a fact finder, which in a conservatorship, in a disputed conservatorship case, is a jury of your peers. They evaluate all the evidence and they tender a decision.
Still scary. It's also, there's also like, you can't divorce it from, like you said, capitalism or sexism or racism or the idea that like people may think that Black people probably have less of an ability, or they may think that women might have less of an ability. Like, it's all this assumption of competence is like deeply ingrained in us and in the way that we view, you know, certain people, especially, let's say, like, even in like a we got to take care of them infantilizing, condescending victim way. Where it's like old women probably are dealing with this a lot more than old men. I'm sure the statistics are out there. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. The statistics are out there. And if you do a simple Google search, recently when I was speaking with the RAP, the question was raised, do you believe that there are any observable trends with respect to race and gender? And I was like, you happen to literally like walk up this hill that I picked that I'm going to die on this issue, because I absolutely believe that there are observable trends with respect to women and, you know, like the ethnic minorities, right? And so it's scarier for us because, you know, do I think it's a coincidence that Wendy Williams and Britney Spears are under a guardianship, and yet you had Charlie Sheen, who was like literally throwing balls of cocaine, you know, was never conserved? When we have these deeply emotional like episodes, right? Like mental breakdowns as humans. Mm-hmm. Do I think it's a coincidence? I don't. And if you do a Google search and you say celebrity conservatorships, male, female, there's an article that comes up.
Oh.
And somebody has actually like identified Amanda Bynes, you know, I mean, the list goes on. But then when you look at the men who are conserved in the celebrity world, they typically are like the classic prototype of people that are conserved normally, which is elderly people.
People with maybe dementia, like people with, you know,
Alzheimer's,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I follow a lot of, I got interested in, there's TikTok and Reels has everything you could possibly want, every niche corner of the world. So I got deeply interested in dementia care and people who do that sort of thing. And it is hard because the people, like, I'm, you know, this is all very scary and it's like, oh my God, they could lock you up and blah, blah, blah. But a lot of the people that are in, are like doing the education in these videos, the people with the dementia or the Alzheimer's are scared. They're like scared. They need someone there to explain and to help them. And they don't know where their wallet is. And they don't know how to buy, like it's, or they wake up and they're crying because they don't understand what's going on.
Absolutely.
Like it is like a necessary thing. Yeah, it is like a completely necessary thing.
Right, right. Well, you know, I always look at the silver lining behind things. And I think that like, you know, when we're older and we're impacted by Alzheimer's and dementia, the good news is that like usually they forget by the next day.
I know.
Like, it's very like, this is what I'm like, if I'm in that place, right? And I like, I did some conservatorships in the course of my like career where I, for 10 years, I was like, I'm not doing a conservatorship at all. Like I did my first conservatorship when I started practicing in this area. And then I was like, I can't handle it. It was like the seeing what the elderly people go through and how like excruciating it is. I was like, my heart could not handle it. I could not do it for 10 years.
Yeah.
The only time I started doing it, you know, and commenting on it is when media started contacting me about the Britney Spears conservatorship.
Interesting.
And then I doubt, and then I saw situations where I could actually like help. And then one of my friends, her husband was going through dementia and was like, had depleted something like hundreds of thousands of dollars of their money from their trust and had given it away. And we had to go and file for conservatorship over him. And it was terrifying, not terrifying. It was really sad.
Yeah.
But we really did save his life. Like his wife came in, saved his life, and he was able to live with his assets until the day he passed. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, that's when I personally like realized that this is, it's like, it's a necessary thing for me to do. Like, if I, as a person with my education, training, background, advocacy skills, don't do this, mm-hmm. like, I'm sort of, you know, not like doing a service to humanity. So like, I have to kind of counsel myself and, you know, go to therapy and stuff like that to be able to continue to do what I'm doing. And to this day, I don't have a lot of conservatorship cases. And I think that's kind of by design, because if I did conservatorships all day, every day, I would just be like crying, you know, like nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't take care of our own enough, but I also understand that we're not set up to be able to. Like, there's all of this discourse I see all the time on Reddit about specifically about disabled people and putting disabled people in conservatorships. That is usually pretty fine, but there are people in the comments who are very much like, you know, other societies take care of their own, other cultures take care of their own. We don't do that. But it's like part of, and then the response is always, well, part of the reason we don't do that is because we don't have universal healthcare. We don't have, you know, UBI. We don't have great social services. So it would take someone a very long time. When you have someone in your life who is disabled, it takes them and it takes you a very long time sometimes to get what they need and not spend an exorbitant amount of money doing that. So it's rather than the conservatorships and the nursing homes and the things like that, I think being a result of us not caring, I think, or like an answer to us not caring, they're the result of the way we've set up our society in which it is almost impossible to do.
I agree with you on your observation that yes, we definitely are. And when we say we, I mean us, the blue-blooded Americans. I'm an Afghan immigrant, by the way, but proud American nonetheless. The way in which our system is set up, and this is getting like political and philosophical a little bit, but
sure.
It's like the pursuit, like our forefathers, the way we set up our liberties is that like you really do have the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, give a lot to our children. Like all the American parents, you know, they sacrifice a whole lot for their kids. Mm-hmm. They were like, you don't worry about me, you know, as a culture.
Yeah.
You go and you pursue your dreams. You want to move to New York? I'm going to applaud you. You don't even have to call me. You don't have to do any of that. You go and you pursue. Like, that's how the American dream is. And that's why we are such a great nation, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have like a 15-year-old prodigy who's going to feel empowered. That parent doesn't tether them, doesn't hold them back. That parent says, God bless you. Go. I'm rooting for you from 3,000 miles away, right? But the other cultures, like Asian culture, of which I was brought up in and combined with the Middle Eastern, so that's like double toxicity. They, from a young age, they tell you, I brought you into this world. I expect you to escort me to death. Like, I change your diaper, you change. Like, that is ingrained in us, right?
Right.
So then the kids growing up in those nations, right? And with that kind, not even in those nations, in the households that observe that in America, we don't feel like untethered. I went to college at UCLA instead of San Diego, and my dad didn't talk to me for like 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, there are consequences to kids who, there are consequences, and there's a price that you pay by virtue of being in that culture that allows for a system that the elderly are like prioritized. We prioritize the youth. Other cultures prioritize the elderly. There isn't anything wrong with it. It's just their facts,
no,
right?
That makes total sense.
So no judgment, but just an observation. And then the reason why I disagreed with your conclusion is that I believe that knowledge is power. I believe that humanity, you know, at our core, we are creatures of compassion and love. Mm-hmm. And I think that especially in communities and family units and in everything else, and when I say family, I use that term in a very broad, loose way to include like your neighbor, your coworker, anybody that cares for you. We have the ability to harness and to build community so that we are not the person that dies at our desk, which we hear this all the time. Like in my practice, it is gruesome. You know, some of the things that you hear, like people whose family members call on them and they don't answer for 3 days. And then, you know, their body has been decomposing.
Right. Because they're by themselves.
Right. Because they had a cardiac arrest and they died in their kitchen floor. And so it's deep, heavy stuff that usually like keeps me up at night. That's why I have wrinkles.
No, stop. Audience, she does not have wrinkles. And also, what a blessing to have wrinkles. My hair is going gray and I'm loving it.
Well, you're going to look distinguished and then I'm just going to look...
That's the male privilege
like
an old I have.
Like, why on earth hasn't she?
Oh my God, that's the male privilege I have. You're right. I'm like, I can go gray and it's actually sexy.
Yeah, you're going to look like George Clooney. I'm gonna look like the woman that they're always criticizing. You know, like Keanu Reeves' beautiful girlfriend? They're going to be like, why?
She's so... Whatever. It's ridiculous. I wanted to talk maybe a little bit like financially more so. Like, what are they, how does that work? Do they dole out an allowance? Do they pay your rent? Like, how does it work financially?
All of the above. If a person is appointed guardian or conservator of your finances or estate, they basically take the reins and they pay your bills, they pay your rent, they pay your caregivers, assisted living facility. And in some cases, if you have a hobby or something that you want to do, they pay for those like hobbies. They could even give you a cash allowance that allows you to go and buy your own cigarettes or your own, you know, cocktail or whatever. Like they'll give you a cash allowance. Mm-hmm. Or like they have these cards in California for the elderly people that could only be used for certain purposes.
Interesting.
So you can't just go and buy like drugs, you know? So it's like you can go.
Let them buy drugs. Let them buy drugs.
I mean, non-prescription drugs.
Let them buy drugs. What does it matter? Let them do a speedball. Who cares?
Those drugs can kill them. I mean, you know, the heart ages. You have to protect that.
Right. You're right. The part of the protection is keeping them alive. It's just so hard. Like, I remember even taking the car keys away from my grandmother was like an uphill battle. Like, it must be, how do you reconcile? Like, how do people just get used to it? Or like, is it always like a fight?
Yeah, most of the time. Like, I would say 98% of the time it starts as a fight. And then the fight gets harder for the elderly person because then everybody around them, they're like, you clearly need help. But it is very difficult to accept our own limitations as humans. Like the older we get, the more we feel like we're still 30 years old, which is a very like, it's just human nature. Like you see a lot of people, like my dad, personally, I'm affected by this because my dad, like recently they wouldn't like renew his driver's license and he's devastated because he raised like 7 kids, you know, 6 girls and like had everybody escape with 2 more families out of like Kabul in like, you know, right after the Russian occupation. So like he's a person that is very competent and capable as a human. And so for him to now not be able to get in his car and drive is a very difficult transition.
Especially also, I think too, if you're like a young person and suddenly it just seems so, it's so hard because like for me, I have bipolar disorder and I know that if I was in the throes of something, I don't think I would be because I'm medicated, but if I was in the throes of something and someone tried to cage me, it would make it worse. It's like trying to cage a tiger.
And by the way, you know, my brother had bipolar disorder and he passed away, unfortunately, a few years ago through a really violent police shooting in San Diego.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
It absolutely is that, right? Because the paranoia that comes with the swings in an illness like bipolar disorder is at its peak when, you know, you need the most help.
Right.
And so, like, I remember from my brother, he would think that like he couldn't trust my mother's food,
right?
Or like that I would give him a ride, you know, that he couldn't trust that those gestures were loving gestures. And I think that's 100% a function of the illness, which I think, you know, it's really sad. But in that moment when that person needs, that's why I think the Britney Spears conservatorship, because she did, I believe that she did have a manic episode, mm-hmm. which, you know, everybody has their own triggering points. But I think that she didn't have the space or the grace to be able to endure the hormones, the like postpartum hormones
yeah.
that certifiably drive you, like objectively drive you to mm-hmm. a breaking point. For her to be able to have that like privacy and peace, right? Mm-hmm. And so what ended up happening is that more attention, more like it was just like, it started to just layer and pile on top of each other in a way that really truly catapulted in that moment of like absolute meltdown, mm-hmm. which is like the umbrella to the car. And it was easy. It was observable signs that she needed help, which made it so much easier for her dad to go into a court with a straight face mm-hmm. and say, my child needs help. And his child did need help. But did she need help for 13 years? No.
Right. Right. I mean, I think, yeah, it is hard to know that you're doing the right thing, but it makes them even more upset. And it's also, on the flip side, easy for someone like her father to come in and take advantage of that for years. Speaking for myself, like, my reluctance to go inpatient at times when I should have is because now you're on the list.
Yeah, you're not like, that's the thing is like right now you can talk about it in such like a mature and like mm-hmm. compassionate and loving way, but that all of that goes out the window when mm-hmm. you're having an episode, right? So it's like you're not going to be able to, like, your brain is like literally going haywire.
Yeah, I'm not gonna check myself yeah. in somewhere because I'm like, yeah. fuck that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you're gonna like try to self-medicate. You're gonna try to like do yoga. You're gonna go to Wyoming, you know, to like find God in the river. Like you're yep. gonna do things.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, I was referring to what Kanye West did. But
oh, is that what he did? Wow. No,
I think he like went to, yeah. Most of us don't have acres of land, you know, in Wyoming.
I was going to say, most of us just fly to France on a credit card, obviously. So smart.
Did you have fun? Were you able to secure a Hermes bag?
No, I did not have fun. I was so stressed out. I like stayed with some woman who I went into her, I guess it was like the beginning of Airbnb. And I yeah. like her bathroom had swastikas in it, which I didn't realize until I moved in. And like, I've puked in Versailles, like a lot happened.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So like, yeah, no, I think that's, you're trying to like wrangle a feral cat and it's like, it makes it so much worse. And then to watch that as the person, you know, helping is like, am I doing the right thing? Is this even right? They're so mad at me. They're so upset. I'm putting them in front of this place where they have no control.
So, you know, this is the thing of like coming back to knowledge is power. I think other states, California definitely has this temporary type of conservatorships, right? Oh. And they're called LPS conservatorships. And LPS stands for like Latterman, you know, something, something act, which is specifically designed for people with acute mental episodes. Mm. And so the way in which that happens is you get conserved and the letters, the control, the mechanism of control is only for a year. And so you actually have to prove that this person continues to need psychiatric medication after that year. They expire.
Oh, interesting. Is it just medication or is it any kind of...
It's any kind of involuntary holds, incarceration, facilities, medication. It includes everything that pertains to that person's need for psychiatric attention.
Yeah. But if you're like, I've been on my meds and I'm good, they'll let you go.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. The conservatorship will expire.
So.
And then it transitions into like a normal probate conservatorship, right? Because the normal probate conservatorship, you still need like help to be, it balances your need for autonomy and your need for some care.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I become like weirdly, sometimes I become weirdly libertarian in my maybe like Gemini self where I'm just like, fuck you. I'm going to move to the woods. The court can't tell me shit. Like I'm going to live in a shack and why do the rules even have to apply? And like, I get very like, I don't want to live in a society, which is like a bad instinct, but like, I just, the concept of I don't know. It is people's worst nightmare. And, you know, you mentioned in the pitch to come on the show, you talked about the show I Care a Lot.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Isn't it amazing?
But it was so scary.
Yeah. I mean, the way it's done where you're like, conservatorship's gone wrong and what to watch out for. It is such a lesson in that. Like, you watch that and then you're like, you can just be like, I've done my diligence. Thank you. You know, like somebody tries to come and conserve like your mom, yourself, whatever. You're like, no, 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 no. I've seen I Care a Lot. And I need notice and I need a trial before this happens, you know? So it's terrifyingly educational.
Okay. Well, good. Well, you know, what Rosamund Pike did for the girlies with Gone Girl, she has done again with I Care a Lot.
Amazing. I love her so much. I was like, anything she like makes, I'm like, please give me more.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So to close up, Ed, what is like the advice that you're like, please, like, I wish everyone needs to know this.
Please. I wish everyone educates and like learns and reads about the importance of having estate planning documents in place, no matter what your age, as a young adult to a 100-year-old person. It is like never too late. Make the choice for yourself so that some random ass person will not make it for you.
Thank you so much. And where can people find you and more about you?
Well, I am chained to my desk as a... No, I'm a litigation attorney here in Los Angeles. And if you Google Benny Roshan, it pops up to my webpage and all of my information, including my children's names.
Oh, God. Don't tell them that.
No, that's not true. I was kidding. That's not true. It's like Rahm and Benjamin. Hello. Because they wanted to listen to this. They like knew I was going to do this.
Really?
They're at that age. Yeah. They're at that age where they're in school, like elementary school. And so the kids talk about it, like YouTubing and like, you know, being on TV and stuff like that. So they'll probably like listen to this. All of the information professionally about me is available online in my website, you know, Greenberg Glusker for my firm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Have a good day.
You too. Bad with Money with Gabe Shane Dunn is a production of Noted Bisexual, produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond M. Print Productions, edited by Diane King. Post-production sound by Coco Lorenz and music by Mike Kaplan, Zach Sherwin, and Jack Dolgen, as sung by Sam Barbera. Thank you. Love you. Bye.